Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Greg and Brett are both here tonight from Bad Religion. I saw Bad Religion last night. Yes. I know Drew didn't. Drew doesn't like to rock. I'm guessing it was the big weenie roast last night at Irvine Meadows. I saw Drew just for a heartbeat. Somewhere in the afternoon, and I'm guessing you left at some point.
We went into the audience and watched a couple bands, and then when Cypress Hill pulled out that huge bong,
yeah,
I thought it was time to go.
Well, you know, it's funny. I
had a bunch of 11-year-olds.
I spoke to Be Real. I told him it was the smallest bong I'd ever seen.
How dare you?
Yeah, that's great. It's a great message. So let me kiss a little Bad Religion ass, because Bad Religion was... Well, there was a lot of fresh-faced punk bands out on the stage. I don't mean punk rock. I just mean, you know, wet behind the ears, you know. 23-year-old guys full of pit vinegar. And Bad Religion was coming on in front of the Beastie Boys. And right after... Who are you guys right after?
Velvet Revolver.
Velvet Revolver, which... We'll review Velvet Revolver later on. Sort of a super group made up of ex Guns N' Roses folks and Scott Weiland and stuff. All right, let me just say this about them. Enjoyed watching them. Everyone's got talent. But and tell me if you guys notice this sometimes. Like when bands go, you guys are going to love watching us rock for about 38 minutes. Hey, over here. See how hard I'm rocking? Look at this. I am rocking. Wait, I'm going to do that move where I go over to the bass player and we lean over and we say something. You're not going to know what it is.
I have
and
a word
we laugh
for that.
And nod.
I call that rocking too hard.
Yeah. Yes, they're rocking. And like...
Over-rocking.
Yeah. Over-rocking. And like effing or playing pool, it can screw up your game. You know what I mean? Like when your thing is like, I'm gonna kill this break. You know what I mean? Or I'm gonna f this chick so hard. I'm gonna be the best. I'm gonna go down on her with such vengeance. It always tends to anything actually. You couldn't make a stew with that kind of vengeance without
pushing.
Yeah. It's pushing, and a lot of it. And I think a lot of people think. You know, rock is like wrestling or something, where if you just throw yourself into it completely, it's all going to work out, or it couldn't be better than if you won 110%, but sometimes you need to take a breath, yes? Bad Religion, by the way. Now, here's where the ass-kissing part starts. First off, Bad Religion, tight, sounded good. Not just that sort of wall of sound, and not necessarily in a good way, where you couldn't really tell the instruments apart, but... well defined, but yet loud, and good harmonies. Band just seemed tight as hell. Have you guys been rehearsing a lot, playing a lot?
We just got back from Europe.
There you go.
We were there for 5 weeks, and took a few days off before we hit the stage last night. So we were in top form.
Yes, yes, you were.
I appreciate the. I didn't know you were there. So
I'm
glad that there were some secret observers.
Where were you anyway?
I was sort of in the crowd?
Well, I just, you know, you ran by, you had to get your wife in, who I was standing next to at the time, and you yelled at her.
No, I had to get my buddy in.
All right. And I saw her 45 times, didn't see you again.
I was...
saw Chris, all right, I saw everybody.
I was paying $22.50 for two goddamn beers, by the way. Two beers. Two beers, $22.50, and then what do you do about tip? Like, part of you is like, well, I would have given the guy $5 if they were $12. Now they're $22.50. I should give him $8, but I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Like, is this going to cost me $30? Like, oh.
They build the tip into the price now, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah. Hope so.
That's good. That's a good way to think.
That's what I said.
That's like, that was my way of, like, all people that die deserve it. Like, are evil, must be doing something wrong. That's a good way to go through life. Yeah. Okay, people that die are bad somehow, and the tip is always built in.
No, it is.
Well, Bad Religion, back to last night. I got to say this, too, that the crowd, which I thought was, they were, I thought, well, they're going to want to see the Beastie Boys. They're a young crowd. didn't look like a bad religion crowd. Not all of them. On their feet, doing the hand thing, jump up and down like maniacs. The person to my right, the person to my left, just going nuts. The entire set. And you know, it's not like, bad religion's done. Let's all file in and watch the Beastie Boys now. Not at all. Place was packed. Everyone was on their feet. I mean, were you, I don't want to say surprised, but I mean,
you can say surprised.
It went as good as it could have went, right?
We felt it was a very successful show. And, you know, we know that L.A.'s a big, it's our hometown, so
it's a big college town.
Yeah, it's a big college town.
I mean, Jesus, 19,000 people just I'm telling you, people were sort of attempting to rock during a Velvet Revolver, but they were rocking enough for all of us, so we had to just sort of sit back and bask in their rockitude.
The rockness.
But Bad Religion got up there and pow. Yeah.
It's our hometown.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. I like when people do that.
It's like an Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that.
Well, it was great.
I've ran into a few younger folks the last couple of days. Everyone's very interested in hearing Chief Thundercloud.
Really?
I can't remember his name, but it's coming back to me as Chief Thundercloud.
Oh, yeah. I think it may have been Thunder Bear or something.
Thundercloud came to me a couple times.
Well, all right. Well, let's call him Chief Thundercloud. That's my my American Indian gynecologist or psychologist or whatever. Drew translates.
Yeah.
We'll do it later on tonight. All right. What do you got? Oh, let's see. Oh, Greg is a doctor.
Dr. Greg from
Dr.
On.
Greg, so we have
Thank
to
you
put our paws together for that.
It. It's the one place I feel like I can use my my doctor prefix because I don't use it anywhere else.
You know, I hate doctors. What what was and what's it in or what's it of?
I'm a doctor of zoology, so.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you? So how's that going to?
Not the kind that helps people.
That can come in handy on Loveline. Right?
How would that affect me? I mean, like, surprise. What could I use? Like,
it won't affect you. And I mean, someday maybe I'll write a book and you'll be browsing through Barnes and Noble or something.
No. Wrong guy.
Okay.
No, I don't look at
I'm
don't
sorry that book. I can't help you.
One of those big buildings that lend them to you again, Drew?
A library.
It doesn't have the word book in it. That's why it's hard to remember.
Can't help you.
What do you do with this zoology degree? I mean, not that you have to do anything with it, but what's the attraction?
For all the, you know, great listening audience out there, I want to advocate that you don't do anything with a degree.
Sure.
If you don't get it as part of a personal quest, there's really no point to getting it.
Right.
Because you ain't going to get a job just because you have a degree. So, I mean...
Unless you're a doctor of medicine.
Well, what would one do with a zoology degree other than teach zoology or work at a zoo?
Do you not find it the case, this may not be true, but that your world perception and the way you think and use information changes as you get higher degrees?
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Okay.
Wow. So it just Drew loves education, yeah. Everybody.
I do.
But here's what I'm saying.
I once asked Adam, imagine if you got an education. He almost punched me. What do you mean? I'm perfect.
How dare you? All right. I don't know. Now, Drew and I have had this argument many times, which is he always says that that education or that schooling teaches you to think,
yeah,
essentially.
Some people. I agree that you know how to think without it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably, but, you know, ritual plays a part in life, and going through different degree programs is kind of like, you know, for someone like myself who never had any religious ritual, it changed my worldview each time I got a degree. Mm-hmm. So you have had different experiences yourself. Maybe they're not formal education. But your worldview has changed as well, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
Through talk radio.
Listen to talk radio.
Sure.
Yep. I hate people that are different than me more and more as the years wear on. So that's what my education is
done. Very open-minded, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. More. Eventually going to narrow it down to even brown-haired people, which I'm going to have to then kill myself because it'll eventually just be blue-eyed blondes, and since I don't fall under that category. All right, Bad Religion, a new CD is called The Empire Strikes First. We're going to hear something off that in the first hour and then something off that in the second hour. And we'll go to the phones, and we'll speak to Marie, who's 25. Marie?
Hi.
What's happening?
Well, I have no sex drive. I just recently started taking some medication, and it's cut it down to nothing.
What medication?
Well, I was on Celexa, but now I started taking Effexor.
Well, both of those medicines can shut you down pretty good. Actually, yeah. Celexa is usually worse than Effexor.
Yes, I had really bad side effects from the Celexa, like constant headache, like waking up with it and feeling really nauseous.
Eesh.
And no, you know, sex drive. And I told my doctor that I wanted something, you know, that wouldn't impact my sex drive as much, and she put me on Effexor.
Are you seeing a psychiatrist?
I just started seeing a psychotherapist.
But the one prescribing the medicine is not a psychiatrist.
No, it's my doctor.
Yeah, because nothing could be farther from accurate to put you on Effexor as an attempt to reduce the side effects on sex drive. There really are only three good ones that'll do that. That's Remeron, Belbutrin, and Cerazone. And Cerazone they're about to take out off the market, which makes me insane.
Well, I got stock up.
It's a great medication.
I'm gonna make a run.
Because three people have had a little liver inflammation from it. Take away from the world.
This is my impact on Drew. He's angry at everybody now. Yeah, I know. Pussies and lawyers and
they keep vodka on the market.
Ruining it for everybody.
Kind of affects the liver.
But Cindy, yeah. Mary, this is not... Effexor really does shut people down pretty thoroughly. It's a good antidepressant, but what's going on with you? Do you have... And the other thing that can happen sometimes if you have a sexual abuse history, you can go from very, very hypersexual to unsexual.
Well, I don't have any abuse that I know of, but I know that I am kind of a hypersexual person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a relationship?
No, I just kind of have a steady partner. Of, you know, I just go over to his place when I...
Friend with benefits.
Yeah.
Why? He doesn't want a relationship?
No, and I'm not sure that I really want one either.
I believe her.
Well, that's just 'cause I haven't had a relationship since I was in, like, 18, 19. So.
How come? Why?
I just can't seem to find any guy that I get along with.
My concern would be that you'd be bipolar. And I think for you not to be seen by a psychiatrist is probably a bad idea. Once you see the psychotherapist, ask him or her if you maybe ought to see a psychiatrist. Because there may be something more going on here than just depression.
Well, I went out with, actually, the guy that I went out with in high school, we were together for like 2.5 years. He was bipolar.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I'm bipolar, but I don't know. I was into like self-mutilation and stuff in sixth grade.
Well, that pretty much...
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
What sixth grader doesn't? But
I'd like to see kids get into it about fourth or fifth, but if you got to go as late as sixth, well, so be it. It's a late bloomer.
It does suggest a trauma history, so it's a good thing that you're seeing a psychotherapist.
Let me ask Greg and Brett my hypothetical I was very proud of that I came up with last Thursday. We're trying to figure out percentage of guys.
Uh-oh.
Percentage of guys... Now, really, put on...
He's putting us on the spot.
You're a doctor now, Greg. Put on your thinking cap.
Stay open-minded with that.
Percentage of guys who beat off the night before they go to the electric chair.
The night before.
You're in the joint. You're in the joint.
Open your mind.
First light. You're going lethal injection, maybe the electric chair.
You know,
whatever
it
is.
You're going to have a big meal.
You have that big
meal.
You're
willing to do that.
You want a serious answer?
Yeah.
And we'll give you access to pornography.
No, we don't give you access.
I'm just for sake of the discussion.
No.
No? All right.
No.
All right.
Because this is
how
not...
How many people have
this,
you asked this
question? This is historically.
Speaking
have
of
you done anything? Going to the gallows or not?
I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
And I would definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
A friend of mine, a guy who sits next to me at work, said he would kill himself trying to blow himself. So that's how he would die. And I thought... Well, you know, if you're going to make your move, that's the time to do it. You know what I mean?
I would say, I don't know, maybe 50-50.
Yeah,
I would
that's
say
good.
About 50-50.
It's funny.
I thought we were.
I should put that on epitaph.com. We have a poll.
Oh, you do?
Do it.
I could do that for you.
Please. Find out. Send it to find out.
That's a good,
it's
a good
it's
one.
It's important.
We were somewhere between 40 and 60. We couldn't quite.
Well, no, you were, yeah, you were up 60, around 60.
You started at 40, then we both came down to 50.
Kimmel was at 70% when I struck him with it.
Speaks volumes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had guys
This is a conversation among people who will never be in that position. So
Kimmel,
God willing. Yeah. The point is I don't know how we stumbled onto this. I think Jenny McCarthy was on here, but that the notion is it would be a zero. It would be zero for women. We're talking about masturbation.
Oh, it'd be zero
for women. It'd be zero, and women couldn't even understand how a man could even entertain that
Jenny
notion.
Bewildered by the question,
like what?
What? What are you talking about?
Like, good point.
I gotta get in a tub. I gotta have a candle. What are you even talking about? Huh, yeah. Yeah, can you imagine the stress of being executed in 9 hours?
Mm.
Yep, but that's guys,
like, how am I going to do my hair?
Yeah, guys are
Hope
thinking
I look skinny.
See, guys, are, but
that's the discussion we got.
Someone
into
does this chair make me look fat? I don't know.
Someone brought the religious component in, which was you know, you're going to meet your maker.
Yeah, but the priest's going to come by and exonerate you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right.
Yo, he can scrub you clean. Okay.
Father, I'm all gonna right. Touch all myself right. Last night. And
yes, most of these guys probably it's the least of their worries.
Really? All right.
Really? Well, most of these guys are pretty religious. Going to black.
The percentage, yeah. So you say, I mean, historically, the last 50 years, 50-50?
Do you think you could find the stats on that?
No.
Probably someone out there who knows.
I suspect the guys keep it to themselves.
I bet.
Don't have a lot of privacy, I bet.
I think what you said about access to pornography is a crucial element here.
I think, yeah.
And but 50 years ago, a guy can't just make up this kind of stuff. They need some visual. Oh. They need some high-tech visuals.
Yeah, you ever been camping?
Yeah.
Is your car, you ever got a flat by the side of the road?
You watch Gladiator Pals?
Oh,
seriously. Come on. Guy can't make it up. Cindy?
I can't.
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had sex for the first time, and I think that I got something from that.
You ever hang around the gymnasium?
What do you got? What do you think you have?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what happened.
What happened?
What's the story?
All right, hold on. We got to talk to someone who's got a pulse. I can't. It'll turn into Quaalude in the ether.
All right, here's it. Cindy, if you think you have a problem, go to Planned Parenthood, go to your doctor, get an exam.
Let's break it down.
There's no way you can know what this
get
is.
Get a hand in now. Come on.
You get an exam,
hey,
do the culture, find
grab
out.
Grab a knee, gentlemen.
It's important you get it treated and cause infertility if it's one of the usual.
That helmet's not a chair. Grab a knee. Didn't like it when you sat on your helmet. That was a little peewee football thing. You grab a knee. You know, like you sit in Indian style. You take a knee. Take one knee. As if you would take two or three, you know? I guess you could take
a couple.
Two would
be resting. Two would be sitting. They know what you're sitting.
Two is sort of less comfortable than one.
But some guys would sit two and they kind of lean. You know, remember that?
You can't get up from two very quickly.
Yeah.
Once you
yeah. So is it grab a knee?
Yeah.
All right. Let's, what?
Everything's good.
Everything's good or everything's bad? Let's talk to Stephanie. Stephanie?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, mate.
You're, what?
Yes,
huh?
Mate?
Huh?
Say that again. Yes?
Yes, I am 19.
All right.
Yes,
you're calling from Arkansas?
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
Arkansas.
Oh, okay. Wow, some people have such a thick dialect that it actually sounds like they're foreigner.
Yeah.
I thought she was Australian or something.
I've lived for a couple of years, so I kind of kicked part of that accent.
I should say she said yes, mate, when we started out.
Yeah. All right. What's up?
I am having problems getting aroused with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more.
Huh?
Is he from Arkansas?
Yes.
Are you in love?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Why, pray tell? Just turn over the cards and let us in. What happened? What's the deal? Give us some detail.
Was he governor?
Well, I love, you know, having sex with him. And that's not the problem because I have an orgasm every time.
Right.
But he's horny all the time. And I used to be the same way a year ago. And now I'm having problems getting there.
Okay. How long were you as active as he?
A year ago.
For how long, though, was this? For a few weeks or for a couple years yourself?
For a couple years myself.
Okay. And that ended a year ago?
It ended about a couple months ago.
And what changed a couple months ago? Do you have to take medication? Has the relationship changed?
No. I mean, our relationship is absolutely wonderful.
You're not on medication?
The only medication I have is birth control.
And is that a new one for you?
Hmm?
A new pill?
No. I've been taking this pill for about 3 years now.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask this. Don't women have a sort of ebb and flow to their sexuality?
Yeah, and the relationship sort of intensity can have that,
I catch them in the ebb.
Ebb, yeah.
Yeah, ebb.
Certainly not the flow.
Yeah, and the valley part of the sexuality. But it seems to do this, whereas guys do this and then levels out and then starts heading out. But it has sort of a predictable arc over the course of, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes women get into these things, and if she's very much in love, I don't know what her number is weekly.
Right. We could find that out, make sure it's not some crazy high number.
Stephanie?
Yes.
How often do you guys have sex?
Currently.
We used to have sex 3 times a day.
3 times a day.
It's your fault for saying currently.
We're lucky if we have it 3 times a week.
All right, 3 times a week is still well above normal, and maybe you're just hitting a more natural stride now. There's all kinds of potential explanations. Maybe you're bipolar and you were sort of a manic phase before. Maybe you've got a job now and can't do it 3 times a day because you actually have responsibilities or some stress in your life.
You're fine. Let's put it that okay.
3 times a week does not get into the pathological range.
Let's look at it this way. All right, relax over there, Drew. Drew's a man of exquisite passion.
All right.
And when he hears about kids and their passion problems, he becomes passionate, engorged with passion, throbbing passion, deep throbbing passion. Here's the thing. You can't have sex 3 times a day with your old lady for the rest of your life. It never seems to work. I was skipping rope tonight, getting philosophical, watching the Lakers lose. And I was thinking to myself, well, I'm skipping rope. I skip rope like 20 minutes almost every day. Then I thought, well, if I skip rope 20 minutes every day, then I should be able to do it until I'm 100 because I'll just do it every day. And, I'll never stop. I'll be doing this fine. I'll be 80 years old, I'll be skipping rope. And then I thought, it doesn't work that way. And this is the same thing with this, right? It's just you've been going at it 3 times a day for a couple of years. You're in year number whatever of your relationship. And at a certain point, God intervenes and says, "Look, you kids will be you'll be doing it 1.8 times a week or twice a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's happening."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Weird that didn't happen sooner.
I have a question about this. Did you guys in the early days used to get so many calls?